From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right.
Greetings, truth seekers, paradigm busters, new world order, civil disobedience, freedom fighters, free thinkers, higher mammals, good people of all types. How's it going? It is Michael Parker coming to you from the heart of Los Angeles in my undisclosed location, somewhere here in the sprawling metropolis. And we are ready to hit you with another couple of hours of infotainment, information, entertainment, and just general good vibes whenever we can apply that. And we got a lot of information today. So joining us in the first hour will be John Good. He is a 47-year law enforcement veteran from Illinois. We'll be talking about Chicago and some of those things. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Ed Curtin, who is a writer, a philosopher, has some really lyrical ways of looking at things. And John Matlin, of course, will be joining us with a couple of news stories. I'm going to try to dial down the gain on my headphones so I don't blow you guys out. And hopefully that will be better. Anyway, this morning I was looking at some videos and I was watching a piece with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. And she was talking to this gentleman. I wasn't familiar with him, but that doesn't mean much. Anyway, his name is Joe Lonsdale. He is the CEO of a venture capital group called 8VC. And he was talking about, you know, as a result of everything that's happened with Twitter, that he now believes that we need to also look into Apple, Google, YouTube, Facebook, because what was happening on Twitter was certainly happening on those platforms as well. And I agree with him. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. Yes, of course, that would be happening on all of those platforms. They all hated Trump. They all were opposed to conservative, right-leaning, MAGA appreciators and didn't want that message out there. So yes, we should expand the investigations into those platforms as well. Maria Bartiromo brought up a very good point. She said that she, you know, we're all talking about these internal communications from 2020 in regards to Twitter, but what she wants to see are the internal documents from 2021 and 2022, because the big cope mechanism that all of the left are using is like, well, wait a minute, you know, 2020, that was still, you know, Trump was still in power. But the deal is that's irrelevant. The DHS, the FBI were talking to all of these companies on the regular. They were all pretty much opposed to Trump. It's like Trump was not telling these people what to do. I'm not saying that there wasn't some information being given to them and requests being made. But by and large, this was outside of Trump's administration. And to pretend that these departments were acting not independent of the executive branch would be silly. Of course, they were acting independently of the executive branch and they were acting with their own agenda. So, yes, I do think that we need to look into Twitter, Apple, Google, Facebook, all of that. And it's probably going to turn up to be just as bad, if not worse. Now, all that being said, I also saw something disturbing today in regards to our side. And this was a Twitter that I'm trying to get further information on. In regards to the Epoch Times, there was and I do not dislike the Epoch Times. I have a friend who writes there, and we cite their work here on the show and on the station quite frequently. But I don't hold any media platform as being 100% reliable and not prone to some bit of error or bias. And a tweet I saw today came from an account called The Errant Friend. And in this tweet, they said that the Epoch Times had turned down an interview with Stella Assange and Laura Logan. They went on to say that the Epoch Times chief editor told them that they won't publish anything that offends Assange. Wow. If that's true, that's quite troubling. And I tweeted back to them just saying, hey, you know, this is a very significant statement that you're making. I'm not saying it's unbelievable, but could you please provide some substantiation of this? Now, we'll see if anything happens. And I don't know if this is true or not. I went on to Laura Logan's feed. I went on to Stella Assange's feed. I didn't see anything from either of them about this, but they're all part of the tweet. So we'll wait to see. And so all I'm saying is, regardless of which side you're on, you know, I don't think any platform is above reproach, you know, right, left, black, white, up, down, whatever, including me, including TNT. We are all, you know, we should all be open to criticism. So that's just the way a free and open society is supposed to work. And, you know, so I agree with this Joe Lonsdale. Yeah. Look into Apple, look into Facebook, let's look into YouTube, because my videos I've done for other people, content that I've done with and for other people has all been taken off all of those at different times. So I've seen it myself. It's a real thing. It does happen. And the more transparency, the better. At TNT Radio, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online, globally, no matter what. We got you covered on TNT Radio.
Talking the big stories.
Our country has a lot of problems.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Today, former President Trump had some announcements on his Truth Social account. And here to discuss them and the frenzy that has taken place in its wake is our friend TNT News producer John Madlin.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one, Michael. So what a couple of hours. Trump teased a major announcement yesterday about America needing a superhero. The web was ablaze. What might he say? Will he be angling to become the next Speaker of the House through some legal loophole? Would he have something of major significance? And then the truth dropped. Limited edition NFT Donald Trump trading cards at $99 a pop. The hate yeah. rolled in across the web. And for rightfully so, because there's a lot of people that were wondering what would come out, and what they got hit with is an NFT and a dying NFT market. But many Republicans couldn't believe that this was the announcement. But was it the actual announcement, or was this just to drive traffic? We will likely never know the exact plan and why, but that is not the only truth. A few hours later, an actual announcement and plan hit his Truth account. But let's first unpack a few tweets of hate, because this is where the narrative is already running. So Denver Riggleman, a former NSA agent, or maybe even current NSA agent, I'm not even sure if that's current, data hawk, that's his description, went out and tweeted, Trump's major announcement is childish. Actual adults will see this as bizarre and troubling. A former president of the United States cranking this crap out. I can imagine how our enemies are excited about Trump possibly being back in office. But people will buy these digital trading cards. It's nuts. To which I always have to say, we have people in the military wearing pup masks right now and taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too sure that they're worried about Donald Trump's NFT trading card, and his record does, for all intents and purposes, show that there were no new wars and we were actually respected. But Joe Biden jumped in on the mix, Michael, and he tweeted,
"Oh boy,
I had some major announcements the last couple of weeks too. Check mark, inflation's easing. Check mark, I just signed the Respect for Marriage Act. Check mark, we brought Brittany Griner home. Check mark, gas prices are lower than a year ago. Check mark, 10,000 new high-paying jobs in Arizona." So the never-ending amount of what Joe Biden thinks is going on and, mm-hmm. and what reality is still continues to trouble us. But now let's get to what he did announce in that other truth. Protecting free speech being paramount, the paramount topic of this. So he announced his plan to, quote, shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim free speech for all Americans, end quote. Trump is out to stop the deep state media organizations and more, calling them a censorship cartel. Trump vows to ban any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization to censor, categorize, or impede lawful speech of American citizens. The bans will continue with federal money being used as naming domestic speech as misinformation or disinformation. Trump plans to investigate and terminate any federal employee that has had their fingerprints on this domestic censorship. He also goes on to state his intent to have Congress send a bill to his desk revising Section 230, stopping online platforms from censoring users that are being lawful. Also in the plans, a 7-year cooling off period before any federal employees can, any federal employees from the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD can take a job at a company possessing vast amounts of U.S. data. The final idea brought forth from the president, a digital bill of rights containing digital due process. That would be for court orders needed to remove certain posts. I feel like I've heard that before. Bill of Rights for the Internet. Oh, that's right, me. Perhaps President Trump swung by my campaign website for my former run for Congress at johnmatlinforcongress.com and saw that the Internet Bill of Rights was right there. So with the media in a tizzy and a frenzy, they're only discussing NFTs. I personally believe it would behoove the former president to post this on Twitter, where it would be accessible all around the world in just hours. But we shall see. Michael, what's your take on these things?
I'm a bit perplexed, like everyone else. And when I first saw that it was the NFT, I was disappointed. I have friends in the NFT biz, but I'm not a fan of the idea. I think the technology could be used for other things in the future. But it, as far as like this digital kind of instant virtual art, I think it's a bit of a scam. So when this was mentioned, because like yourself, I thought maybe this is the announcement of his VP or something. And then I see this, I was disappointed. I did not even know that he had made this other announcement, which is far more relevant regarding, you know, Internet Bill of Rights and privacy and free speech. So I wish that he would have done these on two different days. I mean, maybe this is 4D chess above my head, but I didn't even hear about the second announcement. All I hear about is the NFT announcement, which was not a great look.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things is why I'm saying he needs to get it to Twitter, because that would force the media to reference that he tweeted again. That would have everybody be able to retweet it. The big audience is on Twitter. They're not all on Truth Social. He needs to keep both. If he's running for president seriously here, he needs to keep both accounts active. And with everything that's unfolding on Twitter, it truly, truly is imperative. But like you said, what you're going to hear in mainstream media and by the left is, it's all about the NFT. They won't talk about anything pertaining to the actual 6-minute plan he laid out. And that's where things are going to get lost. But it is starting to spread on Twitter. About 4 minutes before we went live, all the major accounts started breaking the news that we're talking about right now and breaking it down. And yeah, so it's going to start to spread, but there's got to be more than just retweeting the big accounts on Twitter. It needs to come from Donald Trump. That video needs to be on his account. And I think that that's something that will be discussed internally. You hear rumors that he's contractually stuck on Truth Social and things of that nature. What's true and what's not, we're likely not going to find out most of that. So if this is serious, I would think that it needs to be on Twitter. It really does.
I agree. And you know, like I say, a couple of weeks ago, somebody thought I was trying to bag on Trump, and I'm not. I mean, I voted for the guy twice. But I do wonder, like, who is speaking to him in a PR sense, strategizing, here's information, here's how we drop it, here's the timetable that we drop it on, here's the message that we're going to try to be clear about. So I wish I understood how that was rolling out, because this just is perplexing to me.
Yeah. And maybe this is, like we said, maybe this is on purpose. Maybe this is another way that you can shine a light that the media did not cover the plan because they're involved with it. So he sets up the NFT, they run with it, and they're going to basically cover the news with Donald Trump has an NFT, lied about his big statement. And then 2 hours after he's in every news and in every news publication about this, he drops the actual statement. And if they don't go back and correct themselves, then he shows what this is and what this whole entire censoring and narrative cultivating is based on. That's the big thing. So I said, hopefully there's another statement. If this was all about an NFT, it's stupid. But my feelings don't get hurt, and I understand that the man is very eccentric. So he's going to do things that I don't agree with. Nobody can do everything that we agree with, Michael. No. And that's the first step to getting to a place where we can all coexist.
The only thing I would say about this is, like, you know, for 8 years, I was hoping that some of this 4D chess was working out and that some of this stuff made sense. And sometimes it did, but I think at this point, don't be clever. Don't be, I think you need to be straight up on everything all the time. Be very clear what message you're sending, so people, we don't have to wonder, is this the people on the left, the people that hate him, say, see, this is just another grift on his part. I don't know if it is or not. And selling NFTs is not illegal. And he is a famous person, so he's allowed to do that. But he comes out with this very, very important statement about policy regarding free speech and a digital bill of rights and these privacy matters, which are very important. And I don't see this getting heat more so than the NFT story.
Correct. And it's their narrative. They're going to run with it. It's all going to be about the NFT. It's by design. And that's why I'm saying this is why he needs to put it up on Twitter, because everybody would be retweeting the Trump account's first tweet since he was permanently suspended. And that
and
would
maybe
be
he will.
Covered by... It might be. And I mean, I've called a few things in my past. We all have. So, but if you imagine that, they don't
That's
update their stories, then they have to say Trump tweeted, because if they don't, there's going to be millions of people retweeting it, and it's going to be everywhere. And everyone's gonna be like, look, the news is not telling us the full story. And I mean, what better way to prove censorship than just to prove it? And I mean, that could be done literally within 2 hours from this point.
That is a good point, John Matlin. Always appreciate your point of view on these stories. So we will see you in the second hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with John Good. He was a 47-year veteran of the Illinois law enforcement. And so stick around. We'll be back.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
The media lies, and of course this is a recurring theme, not just in my program, but right across TNT, and much of our alternative independent media is criticism of the mainstream media for not reporting or engaging in far too much propaganda, and particularly more recently, far too much censorship. And certainly the JFK and the 9/11 events, they're almost synonymous with sort of media lies and misinformation and propaganda and censorship.
If there was a conspiracy, and if some force killed a president and thereafter managed to get away with it for more than for now 60 years, you know, that force is tremendously powerful.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
It's so important in this crisis that we're in that people...
Congress passes a multi-billion-dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure, no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the vice chairman of internal medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really going to be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns, devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
The hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history, to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now is courage.
The Courage to Face COVID-19. Available at CourageToFaceCovid.com.
The Green New Deal supports the abuse and murder of children in the Congo, mining for cobalt for the electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the program on TNT, and my first guest today is making his first appearance here on the program. We have spoken a lot over the episodes with our friends in Los Angeles law enforcement, Patrick Jordan, Matt Rodriguez, and more. And we've spoken with law enforcement in New York City from the NYPD. We have not spoken with anyone from Illinois and the Chicago area. So today will be our first time to speak with Illinois former law enforcement. And our guest is John Good. He, I believe, resides in a place called Schaumburg. He's a retired 41-year veteran of a suburban Chicago police department. He's the author of a new book called Blood on the Badge. John, welcome to the show.
Michael, thank you for having me on. Great to be here.
I am glad to have you here. And yes, we've covered a lot of the issues facing law enforcement, LA, New York, urban areas, but we haven't spoken with anybody in the Illinois area. And Chicago, I mean, you guys are in the news all the time. You've got an interesting mayor there in Lori Lightfoot. And I was seeing an article just recently that they are talking about restricting, and I want to get your take on this because I had never really thought about this before, but this idea of restricting police scanners and the local news associations are pretty bummed out about this. What do you have to say to this?
You know, I'm not really up to date too much on that particular issue. Our big focus right now throughout Illinois is what when the governors were competing for their title, is a new bill called the Safety Act Bill. And when you're watching TV, you see Joe Rogan talking about repeatedly, what the bill basically does, my friend, is it takes away a lot of different bail options for law enforcement. And there seems to be a lot of confusion. Michael, I don't think anything good comes out of passing a bill at 4 o'clock in the morning. And every police chief I've spoken to or interviewed, there's been a lot of interpretation of it, a lot of confusion on the bill. But again, the biggest aspect of it, if you commit a series of crimes, all the way from different types, from arson or other things like that, that you're available to not have to post a cash bond, that you're available to walk out of the station after you're, of course, fingerprinted, photographed, interviewed. And it's kind of the same things that are going through on New York are going on down here in Illinois as well, too, and throughout the Chicagoland area. I mean, crime, you know, no matter, even we've brought in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, ATF, they're working with local Chicago PD, trying to stymie some of this. But again, it's just too many criminals on the street getting out repeatedly over and over again, my friend. And now they made a lot of news the other day. Lombard, Illinois, is a suburb right not too far from downtown Chicago. And, you know, the image is, well, this stuff only happens in Chicago. Nothing gets out of the suburbs. That's false. That's totally, totally false. Where two officers responded to an alarm at a store, and one of the officers was shot in the leg. Now, fortunately, he's going to survive, and we're happy about that. He killed one of the perpetrators. But again, it's just access to weapons, and I'm sure, as you said, and I'll stop after that, is the availability to change a normal weapon into an automatic weapon. I mean, it doesn't take very, very much at all, and that's what the perpetrator, in this case, used, was he transferred the weapon to make it automatic. A lot of our officers I talk to feel they're outgunned, that, again, they don't have representation of the courts behind them. And, you know, that's just a major, major problem happening for us.
Well, we have similar issues here in Los Angeles. We have a district attorney who doesn't want to prosecute any crime. We let a lot of people back out onto the streets for a variety of reasons. And I saw this article about another just tragic, tragic story that happened in Chicago, where this guy who's recently got out of jail, and he already had murder raps on him, but they weren't really prosecuted. And he killed three people at this birthday party celebration the other day. We'll take a break there because I want to get deeper into that. And yes, I mean, our major cities are in really bad places right now because we've got issues where we are not wanting to fully prosecute crime and we're letting people out too early. My guest, John Good, will be with us. We're just going to take a quick break for the news. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio News.
Are you ready for some awesome news?
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. There was a unanimous vote last night in the U.S. Senate where they approved a bill to ban TikTok from government-owned phones and devices. A cold snap is now seriously threatening Germany's energy security, with the country now reportedly falling far short of hitting gas savings targets at 20% needed to avoid rolling blackouts. China reports new Omicron variant spreading in 9 provinces, stirring fear and distrust among citizens as mortuaries are overwhelmed.
From our family to yours.
Happy holidays!
Ah! It's beginning to cost a lot like Christmas.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I love this Christmassy time of year.
TNT.
My guest this hour is John Good. He's a retired 41-year veteran of a suburban Chicago police department. He's the author of the new book, Blood on the Badge. John, which suburb did you work out of?
Worked out of a suburb called Glenview, which is only about 25 minutes from downtown Chicago, okay, on North Shore. We're just basically 5 to 10 miles away from, as you know, the infamous July 4th shooting in Highland Park, Illinois.
Yeah.
And just the tragedy of that, and, you know, it's appalling. That's the only word I can use, is appalling, that, you know, people just don't feel safe anymore, Michael. They, you know, wherever they're at, you know, and I'm fortunate that I have a number of friends in the mental health field who are working, and they can't get a minute's rest. I mean, they're having clients over and over and over again coming in from as far away as New York to get counseling on what happened on July 4th. So things are just, you know, up in arms and, you know, in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I was fortunate that before I left, Glenview did hire a couple of officers from Chicago who were able to come over. And some of the stories that they shared and some of the things that happened that they witnessed, and these were not men or women who had been on the force for 30 years. These were men or women who had been on the force for a number of only a short period of time, but realized it was better for their families, their own mental health, and themselves to get out. So again, it's just, you know, my heart goes out to every police officer working anywhere right now in our great country.
I'm with you, and it's sad to see that they are not getting the support they need. And this has been going on for like 10 years, you know, when the whole defund the police thing kicked in and all of that. And now, even though we've realized that doesn't really work, we're still seeing the after effects of that. And then we've got impotent city management in most of these large cities, or they're just setting people free intentionally. And I don't know, I can't imagine that morale is very high within law enforcement in any major American city right now.
No, it's really, really not. And, you know, Glenview as well as Chicago falls under Cook County. And Cook County, someone told me one time, if it was a country, but 12th largest country in the world, that's how big Cook County is. And there's not a lot of faith or trust between law enforcement, Mayor Lightfoot, as you mentioned, the Chicago Police Department, and the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. They've had a large transfer of people, Cook County State's Attorney as well, because they're just not happy with the management or the scheme going on around that. And it's just, you know, a wide variety of different issues that are facing. And we haven't even touched on the mental health aspect. I mean, you know, really difficult. You know, when I started years ago, if I had to write up a documentation to get someone into a mental health facility, at least for a counseling or for the initial interview, that was an anomaly. That was very, very rare. Towards the end of my career, I was probably doing one every 3 days. And there's no place to put people. You know, the old, we'll medicate. You know, funny story, I thought I had someone that definitely needed counseling and would be locked up for a period of time. The next day, I'm back working. I stop for a cup of coffee at a Starbucks. I'm in line. I turn around after I got my cup of coffee, and the person who I sent to the hospital for the facility were standing in line. I go, excuse me? He goes, oh, come on now, Officer Good. Give me a break. Do you really think they're going to keep me overnight? He goes, I spoke to someone, I won't mention who, and we were able to, you know, interact. And I just told him I was having a bad day. There's not enough facilities or beds to put people who professionally and really need, you know, day-to-day counseling, and they're simply not getting it. You know, the medication possibly is not working or whatever. And I'm not going to, you know, go off on that, but you just got to take people off the street and find them the help they definitely need.
Well, we've got the same. I mean, right now, that is the biggest issue that we're facing in Los Angeles is the homeless situation and the crime. And then, of course, gas prices, which are going down a little bit. But the main issue that we have here in Los Angeles is our homeless population, which has exploded. We just elected a brand new mayor, and this woman, Karen Bass, her first day in office, she signed this big decree declaring a state of emergency regarding homelessness here in Los Angeles. But I'll be honest, I'm not expecting very much. And a lot of people are predicting that, I don't know. I don't think it looks good. I mean, we often get promised, oh, somebody's going to fix this, you know, and they come along and they make a big to-do about it. But our homeless situation and our mental health crisis in all major American cities is at a level that I don't think it's ever been at before.
And that falls on law enforcement. The first person that you call, of course, is 911. We respond, talk to the person, and now there's a big push to see how it works out about bringing mental health professionals into the squad car or their own separate vehicle to respond to calls like that. I'm not going to, you know, I want to see more documentation on how well that's working, you know, it's successful or not successful. We're not getting, you know, right now I don't have that data available for you, but again, back to what I said before, these repeat offenders over yep. and over and over again. You know, funny, quick story. Now, when I was arresting offenders, you know, years ago, and now towards the end of my career, now I was arresting their kids, you know, for basically yeah. the same thing. And the lack of respect for law enforcement was rampant, you know, with those families. Now, I have to yes. say, after 9/11, a lot of people would walk up to me, thank you for what you do, things of that nature. And it was wonderful. And law enforcement will respond to that. But again, you know, the system is broken a number of different ways. But I'm amazed. I taught at Oakland Community College, Northwestern Illinois here, the amount of young men and women who still want to do the job. They really, really do. And, you know, and they just believe they can make a difference. And I applaud them. And I yes. pray for them. I want them to do well. I really, really do. But the amount of them that want to go to Chicago, that believe they can make a difference in Chicago, hey, again, I'm all for it. If you believe, you know, because it was funny, I talked to someone, they go, John, what did you think you became a cop? I go, excuse me? What do you think? You thought you'd go in there, make a difference, make a change, an overhaul, you know, again, a number of different areas, and you can only train so much, but again, what they're encountering, it's just, you know, a real, real difficult situations. And not only Chicago, but suburbs, as I talked about, that Lombard where the officer was shot in Lombard as well, too. Crime doesn't stay in one place. It goes where it's possibly the best benefit of getting, you know, revenue, and it's just branching out all over.
And I was looking through my notes. I just realized that I sent, and this is my fault, I sent you the wrong link to a particular story, and now I can't find the correct one. But there's also a story that happened in Chicago in the last several days. It's just an absolute tragedy, and similar things have happened here in Los Angeles, where a person who had got a plea deal, he had already been arrested and put in jail for a home invasion burglary, and I think some people were killed in that. He ends up just serving a few years in jail. He gets out, and this weekend he murdered three people at a birthday party. And, you know, this 32-year-old guy is back in custody now and will probably face life in prison, but he should have never been out free in the first place. Are you familiar with this story?
Oh, totally familiar. It happened in Portage Park area of Chicago. I keep talking about as well, too. Again, the availability. Well, again, you know, we could spend a week talking about when you and I had an argument years ago, we wouldn't go for a firearm. Nowadays, it seems like the only way to resolve anything, because people don't have skills to, you know, bring down their tempers, is right when they have availability of getting a gun. You know, and the access in Chicago and all over. I once asked my students, I go, if you guys really need it, you need to get a gun, could you get one? And 95%, I repeat, Michael, 95% raised their hand and said, yeah, Mr. Good, you know, if we need to get a gun, we know someone who knows someone. You know, they just charged the person who brought the, was able to get the gun into Chicago that killed a wonderful officer French, a Chicago police officer, you know, very, very young on the force and everything. All you got to do is go to Indiana and you go to a gun trade show, you go somewhere. And it's, I'm not blaming alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. They got their, you know, hands, you know, they're working as best they can. But just the availability of handguns over and over, combined with mental illness, combined with lack of people skills, make for like a situation in Portage Park where three people at a birthday party wind up dead.
It is tragic, but to be clear, I want to make sure. So, but I mean, are you a gun control proponent? I mean, what are you saying here? Because I'm a gun owner. I'm a registered gun owner. Are you opposed to that or what?
No, by all means. Okay. No, it's gotta be means to control it, you know, but again, you know, we got the Second Amendment, you know, which we fall back on, which is fine. Okay. We just got to make sure that we know who's carrying these weapons and that they're enforced by, you know, there's no way the individual at the Highland Park shooting should have access to an automatic weapon like that. And that's all I say, right. You know, something like that. And again, it's just a bad, bad situation. And repeatedly, there's red flags over and over and over again that, you know, aren't being followed up, you know?
And you were also mentioning taking some weapons and making them automatic. Are you talking about like bump stocks?
Yes. And again, it's just so easy right now to make these weapons, you know, into automatics that doesn't take, you know, a gun manufacturer, doesn't take a gun genius to figure out how to make it available. And, you know, it's just, again, what our officers on the street are facing day after day after day, and the availability of their firepower compared to what they're facing and going against, you know, is ridiculous. Again, if you've got someone weapon, lock them up and make sure that they're locked up, that they're not able to bail out or get out on bond and do the same crimes over and over and over again.
Precisely. Let me ask you this. What is the, is there a shortage of law enforcement officers in Chicago and the surrounding areas these days, or is there full employment? The only reason I ask is because I agree with you. I think a lot of law enforcement people might say, you know what, I don't feel appreciated here. This is too dangerous. I might move to somewhere where I feel like I would be more appreciated.
They are. A lot. Chicago just is in an influx right now. They've gone through a transition. I saw a stat recently where I think in the year 2021, over 6,000 Chicago police officers left the force, you know, early retirement or moved on to other situations. And again, you can only train. It takes a long period of time to get, you know, new people up and running and ready to go. And they're trying to do everything possible can to get more officers on the street, take them out of other units or specialized units, try and get some, you know, everyday officers out there. But again, it's a shortage. There's a shortage, and you know, but you know, until we get the court system worked out, that the officers feel comfortable working with the courts, that when they make an arrest, that person's going to stay locked up for an extended period of time, then we're fine, you know. But when they feel like, hey, they're doing the paperwork, especially, you know, with these car thefts going on, running all over the place, and cars being stolen left and right, and if the offenders are juveniles, they're back out the same day. They're back out sometimes about the same day. I mean, it's a crazy situation for officers to be dealing with, and it's as frustrating as can be.
Oh, I fully get that. John Good is my guest. He was a 41-year veteran of the Chicago area police law enforcement. We're going to take our final break of this hour. This is TNT's Deprogram. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
The hypocritical intolerance of the liberal loony left. Once again, it's on full display, this time through the actions of a restaurant in Richmond, Virginia called Metzger Bar and Butchery. According to a column in USA Today by Ingrid Jacques, it's an establishment which prides itself on being an inclusive environment. Yeah, right. Last week, the restaurant canceled the reservation from the nonprofit Family Foundation just an hour and a half before its scheduled dessert reception with supporters. Why? Jacques says employees at the restaurant had looked up the group online and decided not to serve its members because of their advocacy for biblical principles, including traditional views on marriage and protection of the unborn. The restaurant staff felt uncomfortable and unsafe by the prospect of having to serve them. Many of our staff are women and or members of the LGBTQ plus community. All of our staff are people with rights who deserve dignity and a safe work environment, the restaurant said on social media. This is nothing short of anti-Christian bigotry, but guess what? Not a peep from the fake media. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The FBI is orchestrating plots, riots, and massacres in an attempt to justify the nullification of your constitutional rights. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the 21st century, I did not think that life would be like this, and I didn't think that our major American cities would look like Mad Max and just descend into lawlessness, but it's managerial issues. It is people not letting law enforcement do their job. It is district attorneys who won't prosecute. And it's just really social justice run amok to the point that victims don't have the rights, it seems, that perpetrators have. And it's just madness. My guest this hour is John Good. He is from the Chicago area. He was a 41-year veteran. And John, let me ask you this. Because it's the holiday season and I know Chicago's in a bad way. LA, crime is rampant in Los Angeles now, and people have to be careful during the holiday season. They're out there, they're making purchases, they're coming and going from ATMs, cars, with gifts and things. Just talk a little bit, I know we're changing gears a little bit, but because this is the holiday season, what can people do to protect themselves right now in this holiday season?
Be aware of your surroundings at all times. Always, again, and don't live in this false image like, well, I'm out here in the suburbs or I'm not in Chicago and nothing can happen to me. Like I mentioned, you know, crime is going from Chicago out to the suburbs. Pickpocketing especially is on the rise, not only in Chicago, New York, all over the place. So be aware. Someone bumps
John,
into you.
John, hold on. I didn't catch that. What did you say is on the rise?
Pickpocketing. Where people are stealing your wallets, your money, your personal identification rampantly all over the place. So again, be aware of your surroundings. If you're a woman, make sure the newest fashion is very, very fashionable. I don't know if you've seen it, Mike, or not. A small little purse or that goes over around your neck, around your shoulder. Again, so you have your zipper right in front of your chest area. That's very, very good. But men, far too many carry their wallet accessible. And again, just people are not cognizant of what the possibilities are for possibly being the victim of a crime. Again, travel in packs, be aware of your surroundings. Make sure, again, boldness of the thieves, they don't care if you're sitting in your car by yourself and your car is running. If you're hopefully you're in a well-lit area and you're aware always of your surroundings. If you are a tourist and you're traveling, don't act like one. Don't walk into New York, you're coming from Chicago. Next thing you know, because criminals are smart, walk confidently, know where you're going, have a plan before you get to your destination in case something does happen, by all means. But again, they will look and see the people standing on the corner. If you're a tourist or not familiar, looking around, just all you're doing is putting a circle on your back, like saying, hey, look, I'm vulnerable. You can steal my wallet. You can, you know, take whatever you want from me, because I don't know where the local police station is. You know, 911, is that the right number? 311? So be aware, and it's terrible to say during this holiday season, you have to be like this. But like you said, my friend, a few minutes ago, things have changed. It's not like it was 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. So we're totally different. And again, it's repeat offenders over and over and over again, getting back out, stealing from you. If you have personal belongings, do not leave them in your back seat. Put them in the trunk of your car. Lock up the trunk. Make sure they go in the trunk of your car and that they're out of sight, hopefully out of mind.
And John, I don't know how it is in Chicago, but I've heard some mayors and muckety mucks in these various cities saying, oh, you know, crime is not that bad. Well, it looks to me like, on average, crime is as bad as it has ever been in the U.S. Am I wrong?
No, you're right for certain areas. You know, I'm not going to tell you that it's running rampant in every suburb throughout Illinois. But again, it just seems, you know, crime is up. The stats verify it by all means. If you don't have a job, you got to make ends meet. You know, one way or the other, if you have to steal to make, you know, put food on the family, on the table for your family, you got to do what you got to do. So by all means, you know, it's not rampant through every town in Illinois, but especially in the Chicagoland area and the immediate surrounding suburbs. It's a terrible, terrible problem.
Well, and I essentially meant major urban areas. And when I say that, the reason, I fully put the blame on city management. It's like you have to establish a philosophy within your town that you are going to prosecute crime and you are going to go after those who commit crimes and make that very, very clear. The minute that you're soft on this, it just signals to all these people like, well, look, you know, man, I have nothing to fear. Here in Los Angeles, I mean, it is so out of control that you could literally just go into a department store and just start stealing stuff, or go into an Apple store, or go into a pharmacy and just literally start filling trash bags full of goods. And security guards are told not to stop you. Store employees are told not to stop you. I understand all that. But I mean, it is a science fiction movie now of just complete mayhem.
We were told, about not even this year, but a couple years ago, like you said, Michael, they weren't going to charge certain crimes, retail theft being one of them. Well, you know, what does it tell the offender? Like you just said, you can walk into, and I've seen videotapes, friends send me all kinds of TikTok and other stuff that they've seen and witnessed, where they're standing in a Walgreens or a CVS or a Walmart or wherever it may be. And, you know, the person walks in with a black bag and just starts emptying out the shelves and walks out, you know, because they know, again, that they're not going to be charged. So by all means, you know, we got to tighten everything up. And the funny part is the sheriff in charge of the Cook County Jail has said, look, I've got availability. I've got empty cells. I've got, you know, I can lock these people up. It's not like I have to, you know, open up like, you know, in Arizona years ago, you know, with Sheriff Joe, where he had to put them out in the desert. We've got places to lock people up, but it's up to the prosecutors and the judges to, hey, here's the law, lock them up. Don't go with the, you know, soft on crime bit because you're worried about this and that. You know, and again, the cops are making the arrests, but the bad guys, for lack of a better term, are getting back out way too soon. And yes, again, yeah, I mean, keep your fingers crossed here in Illinois, because I haven't, like I said earlier in the show, I haven't met one person yet who's comfortable with this new Safety Act bill being passed to see what's going to happen 1/1/23.
Explain to us right quickly what that encompasses.
The main thing, like I said, is that there's a lot of confusion over what crimes you can arrest someone for, and they don't have to post a cash bail, right? That they can be arrested and just on their own cognizance, fingerprinted, photographed, and walking out the door the same day. And you're like, well, you know, what's the mindset there? You know, and again, when law enforcement said, do not support this bill, it's got a lot of loopholes in it. And granted, they just made a revision to the bill, I think about 2 weeks ago, to try and toughen it up. But a lot of people are still worried because there's a lot of confusion. I mean, you know, who's going to read every sentence in that bill? And what's going to happen in Cook County, Illinois, as opposed to Will County or, you know, a different, you know, Grundy County? It's totally, totally different. So we'll see what happens.
That was going to be my next question. Was this a statewide or a countywide thing?
Statewide. Wow. And again, and prosecutors are saying, hey, look, and I mean, criminals are geniuses. I mean, and you're going to say, come on, John, genius? Some of them, right?
Yes.
They were already, you know, using COVID money and other stuff like that to get them bailed out in certain counties. I mean, you're sitting there in a school of hard knocks or learning what to do. You talk to other prison inmates when you're in there, and they teach you the tools of the trade. Okay, you can do this, you can do that. So, again, just a lot of loopholes. We believe in the bill still, and we'll see what happens on 1/1/23. But by all means, I don't see a lot of positive things coming out of it.
Wow. Well, I know that you are also an author now. You are retired. You have a brand new book called Blood on the Badge. Give us an idea what this is all about.
Took me a couple of years to write, put together. It's a police crime fiction. If you guys, there's no one who's picked up Michael the torch from the late, great Joseph Wamba. So I'm trying to fill his shoes. Too much stuff is on detectives and people, our listening audience right now, who never have a contact with a detective. But every day you're going to see a squad car going by. You want the mindset, hopefully. Police crime fiction, real quick synopsis. The hero is Matt O'Neill, former Navy SEAL. Something happens to him. He decides to become a cop in a suburb of Chicagoland area. He's comfortable, wants to raise his family. His wife's a nurse at a local hospital. Things are going good. He brought a couple of former Navy SEALs with him because he was a team leader, and they're like settling down. Lo and behold, 1 month before they get off probation, one's killed in a traffic stop. Well, that's normal. You know, sometimes police get killed, hit by cars in traffic stops. Then things start to unravel. 2 months to the day of the first officer dying, another one dies. So lo and behold, Matt winds up becoming involved in trying to solve the case because he believes he's responsible for their deaths by bringing them out of Navy SEALs to these police departments. And it gets really, really good. It's gotten great reviews. Rick Kogan,
excellent.
Buckle Tribune, was on his WGN radio show a while back, gave it a great review as well. It's available, of course, on Amazon, makes a great Christmas stuffer. I think you guys will be very, very happy with it.
Are you on social media?
I am not on social media. I can give you my website.
Please.
And that's crimeauthorjohngood.com. I repeat, crimeauthorjohngood.com. And feel free. I've got two different Facebook pages as well, too, that I'll give to your producer when we get off the air. If someone wants to contact me via that.
Well, go ahead and give it to us now. Go ahead and give us, if you can remember them off the top of your head, the URLs.
Sure. I got facebook.com/authorjohngood. Let's just go with that one for now. Facebook.com/authorjohn, no E on the end, G-O-O-D, John Good's one word. And again, contact me via there. And I've done a number of great podcasts in the past. Michael, again, it's been great being on your show, and I'd like to be your Illinois representative in the future. And please contact me after 1/1/23. I'll give you an update on this safety crime bill, and we'll see what happens with that.
We will definitely do that, John, and I support you and all of our law enforcement. And, you know, I used to be a rowdy young man at one point, a little bit angry, but through this show, and I have a lot of renewed respect for the law enforcement profession. So I wish you and yours and your brothers and sisters in the profession, you know, safety and prosperity in this new year, because it seems like it's getting tougher. But we're thinking about you, John, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, my friend. Keep in touch.
All right. I will. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be taking a break. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Ed Curtin, who is going to be also making his first appearance on the show. And I always love having new voices on here and talking to new people. And I try to mix it up. I try to get as many different people on the show as possible. And of course, some people are on here more frequently, but I'm trying to keep it fresh for you guys. This is Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker. This is Deprogram TNT. We'll be back.